Moncrief on News Talk.
A lot of people listening right now might have to endure migraine, and it can be debilitating. There is a perception that migraine simply means a bad headache and a sensitivity to light, but depending on the variety, it can be far more intense than that. Catherine Hearns experienced her first episode after the birth of her second child and was eventually diagnosed with a rare form called hemiplegic migraine. Catherine, good afternoon to you.
Hiya, Sean. How are you?
Not too bad. Prior to your first migraine episode, had you had any other kind of health issues at all?
No, I mean, I was 24 when I literally never had a headache up to that point.
Yeah.
And at the time, the neurologists have said since that it's nothing got to do with the birth or anything. Literally, it just sort of raised its head about 2 weeks after I had Jamie, and it sort of escalated then over a number of years. Like the thing with migraine is it can change. Every episode is different. And I'm sure everybody feels like that.
Yeah.
You know, some people will say it's just a headache. It certainly isn't a headache. Mm. For me, it took about 6 years by the time I was diagnosed. And it was a freak diagnosis, really. I was 8.5 months pregnant with my third child, Abby. And basically, I had a headache-free pregnancy. And I got a very bad episode at 8.5 months and went into an out-of-hours GP. And the nurse actually came running up and she said, oh my God, this lady is having a stroke. And it was actually the GP came out and he was very calm. And he said, no, she has, and named it. And I remember whispering to my hubby at the time, he's still my
hubby. He's your hubby, yeah. He's outside,
my chauffeur. And I said, can you write that down? So once we had a name, we were able to go a little bit further.
Yeah. Now, and describe the first episode you had was when you just had Jamie. Was that more like, for want of a better phrase,
it was
classic migraine?
It was classic migraine. And it started with classic migraine for many years. And it really just sort of, it took shape, I suppose, after, you know, a couple of years. Yeah. I'd have the facial droop. But really, by the time, I suppose, I hit my mid-30s, you know, the episodes just really escalated.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, there's a word I've read, aura. What does that mean, this connected to a migraine attack?
See, the thing is with migraine, there's so many different types of migraine. And like classic migraine, you will get aura as well. Like you've heard of people with zigzag lines, like, and, you know, they'd have light sensitivity, smell sensitivity. And all of that is, you know, is like the prodrome of a migraine. For me, my aura, I could, the day before, I might have a sick stomach. I could be actually on top of the world and, or I could be tired and then I could be hit with the migraine, or I could be just hit with it out of nowhere. So an aura will, for me, is basically I lose full power on my left side. I lose my speech. It gets very slurred. My swallow at times was very bad, where my hubby would have had to lift my head off the pillow and literally try and pour water in, you know, for me to take medication. The facial droop is quite severe with a bad episode. And bad episodes have debilitated me so much that I'm now 52. My left side is very weak, to the point where I went to A&E the other day. I thought it was my kidney stones. And when they done the CT, it turns out that my lower right spine is curved inwards, and it looks like a compensatory gait. So it's mad to think that when you hear the word migraine, that, you know, people, you know, everyone says just a headache. Like, this has literally disabled me. I mean, I have left my 30-year career in retail management, which I loved, but I found it so difficult the last, I'd say, 10 years of it. And, you know, you know, that's why I started my own little business, because I wasn't ready to give up despite all my health issues, you know.
Yeah. And the thing about it affecting your left hand side, have you ever, you know, presented with those symptoms and a doctor thought you were having a stroke?
So many times, you know, and it's so... Like, the medical profession really don't understand it. They don't see it enough. It's so rare. It's apparently 0.02% of the population have it. Now, I actually firmly believe it's misdiagnosed and underdiagnosed. I've heard of ladies been diagnosed as having Bell's palsy every time they get a headache. But to me, and I'm not a neurologist, but I would assume it would be hemiplegic migraine. So, and because like the country is so short of neurologists, like I go to Martin Rutledge up in the Hermitage, and he's really been the game changer for me personally, because it took me many years to find the right neurologist, you know, one that will sit and listen. If your medication doesn't work, okay, let's change it. You know, that's what you need. Yeah. I was plowed with medication years ago because we're just trying to find what it was and how to control it. I've literally learned to just, you know, give into it.
And before you got the diagnosis, then you're kind of in and out of A&E.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And my GP, you know, with the best will in the world, like it was like he didn't know himself, of course. And he was like, oh, it's a migraine. And I'm like, it has to be more than this. You know, like you lose your speech, you lose your swallow, your whole left arm, you know, is so weak, your leg, you're dragging your leg. It is in all, like the whole physical perception of it is a stroke, but obviously your body returns to normal. I've just been unfortunate that I've had quite a lot in life. I think there has been a lot of stressful issues down through the years in life as well.
Yeah.
You know.
And so when you got the diagnosis finally, what kind of medication did they put you on?
Oh, sure. Look, I've been on everything going. Do you know, I couldn't even go back to what I was on. There was one actually was very good, and I actually had about a good 8 years. I think it was Topamax. It's actually an epilepsy. I think it's for epilepsy, but that actually did help me for many years. So you have to, the neurologists look at it in, so like you have to look at it, like migraine in general is not just throwing medication at it. You have to look at the lifestyle. You have to look at your sleep cycle. You have to look at your stress. Like, is it, you know, coming up to your menstrual time? And like, and I'm talking as a female, men get migraine and they don't talk about it. They say that more women get migraine. Yes, because we talk about it. And obviously hormones play a huge part in it as well. So, yes, I've been on every medication going, Sean. So, you know, we won't go down that road.
Yeah. But then has there been, if you like, a knock on effect on other parts of your health as well?
Massive. Now, we can't say that it is part and parcel of it. I've just been, I suppose, unfortunate. I got heart failure at 46. By the time I got to the hospital, my heart function was only 22%. So I was diagnosed then with dilated cardiomyopathy. I have a couple of autoimmune conditions. I have a thyroid, I fibromyalgia. I was diagnosed last year with colitis, and actually will turn the kidney stones as well, and now my lower back. But sure, look, that's it. We can't put it all down to migraine. I suppose it's unfortunate that I have just such a rare subtype. What I will say to anybody listening is, you know, I know how lonely it can be, because in a working environment, like I used to be afraid. I was in middle management. People don't understand. They really, really don't. Like in America, like a migraine is a disease. They look on it and they really take it seriously. Over here, it's very like, usher, you know, your one is just complaining, or, you know, I think that's why people don't really, you know, talk about it enough. And, you know, if this opens a conversation here today, Sean, you know, we've done a good job.
Yeah. And you've, your whole life, since you were 15, you've been working. You're a grafter.
I actually could say 13. Yeah. I was scrubbing a few loos in a hotel at 13 and getting £10 for the job. Yeah, I am a grafter. Yeah, I am.
You got that from your dad?
I did, yeah. Dad was the best. Yeah, he was a manager as well. So I suppose I grew up watching him working in the local creamery. And he had a tough, he struggled with depression. He got very sick one year with brucellosis. And as a young girl at 16, I saw the depths of depression. And this is now, you have to go back to the early 90s. And, you know, it, again, we're talking taboo. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he just, like, between electric shock treatment, he was ploughed with medication. I remember one day going out and looking for him and he was hiding behind a bush.
God.
So it was hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. No,
but no, you're fine. But look, he had to do what he did. And he did choose to end it. I never blamed him. I couldn't because I saw what he went through. And, you know, that's another conversation for another day. And again, it's being open, having that freedom to talk. And if somebody doesn't, you know, just send a text, say hello, because maybe that person just needs it that day. So, yeah, I've been touched in life by many different, I suppose, health conditions. And yes, I have struggled with depression as well. My husband has been, I love him to bits. He's been with me since I was 15. And I suppose, actually, the night before my dad did what he did, we went to visit my mum in the hospital. And I remember him, he turned around and he said, Katie said, young Hearns is going to marry you and look after you. And I was only 16 at that point, but he had made that comfort in his mind. And young Hearns did. Mm. He did that. So.
Oh, God. But you did say you had to, you took the decision. I imagine it was a painful decision to give up working
full
time.
Oh my God, I loved retail. Yeah. Many people are probably listening now and saying, is she mad? Yeah, probably a bit. I loved retail. You know, the whole social aspect of it. Customer service for me was the be all and end all. I mean, the first book I read, Sean, at 17 was, oh my God, Super Quinn, Crown and the Customer.
Yeah.
And, you know, that stayed with me through life. And I just didn't want to give up, even though my health does run against me every single day. There's no day I don't get up that I don't have pain or I don't go to bed with pain.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's why I started my comfort.
Yeah.
And the hubby said to me, you know, it was actually after a self-care course. And he said to me, I mentioned something that somebody said, you know, it's a pity we don't have a toolkit or somewhere to go that understands is like, a, you know, and I was chatting to Deck about it and he said, Kat, why don't you do it? You know, he said, you've always wanted to have your own business. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
so, and describe for us what that is. These are kind of a form of eye mask, are they?
I took 18 months to design them and it was really important for me to, because I've gone through so many eye masks. I mean, you can buy them all over the place and like the quality is just not there. And I wanted to make sure I sourced the best raw materials, that I went from the sustainability route. It's coming down the tracks big time. And yeah, so I have the multi-way eye mask with the cool and calming insert. For me, that's my hero product because I would use that all the time. And then I have the Sleepwell eye mask as well. And that is your classic eye mask. And it's designed specifically for comfort. It has the highest grade European raw materials. I source raw materials. I send them to my manufacturer in Poland. And, you know, so I do all the groundwork myself. So it's, I've considered everything. And I suppose I'm my own target market. You know?
Yeah, indeed, you would. Yeah, you'd know, first of all, if it wasn't working that well. And
absolutely,
the idea would be this would be something that you'd wear routinely rather than if you feel...
Well, I mean, the multi-way eye mask, the beauty of it is that you can take the insert out and use it as a classic eye mask, per se. And I mean, there's a range of... It's not just for migraine. I mean, the Sleepwell eye mask, people can use... Everybody can use it, you know, beauty, whatever. it can be washed at up to 40 degrees. You know, like the eye masks out there are just, they're 100% polyester. They're filled with hollow fiber. They're, you know, like they're just not, they don't do what's say in the tin. And yeah, my eye mask does.
Yeah.
And the Multiway also comes with an aromatherapy insert. So for that, you would heat it. And it just gives the whole aroma of relaxation. If you're into mindfulness, yoga, you know, it's that's the beauty of it. So it's been made with heart. Mm. It's been made with pure insight behind it. And, you know, my feedback from so many people, they've messaged me and emailed me and they love it. So, you know, and I'm only starting, Sean.
Okay,
so
good, good.
There we go.
And the migraine episodes, are they about the same in terms of how often they happen or have they lessened at all?
Since I hit menopause, they've changed a lot. And the neurologist, he said that can happen because your whole hormone system is changing. So they are gone a bit classic. If I do get an episode, I unfortunately have the fibromyalgia now as well, and which is just chronic pain throughout your body. They've changed. They've softened slightly, dare I say, touching every bit of wood.
You won't find much wood in here, I'm afraid.
they have changed. You just have to go with the flow.
We wish you the very best for the future, Catherine. And loads of people are texting in, have been texting in and saying same thing and how much they enjoyed listening to your story
Thank you. Thanks, Sean, for having me on.
Mention your website, mycomfort.ie. That's
thank
where people
you so
can find
much.
Out more
yeah.
About that product. Catherine Hearns, thanks a million.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.